Welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. If you are looking to earn more money, work less, get more freedom, and overall grow your cleaning company, you, my friend, are in the right place. If you love the show but want more than just little 20-minute snippets, go to growmycleaningcompany.com for all of the resources that we offer. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live if you would like to hang out with me and your fellow Cleaning Nation members. Today, we are chatting with Marisa Redis from Absolute Touch Cleaning and Organizing. They have been serving the Dallas-Fort Worth area for 3 years with cleaning and organizing services. If you'd like to reach out to Marisa, you can get a hold of her at www.absolutetouchservices.com. Marisa, welcome to the show.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm so glad to have you on. Tell us a little bit how you got into the cleaning business, my friend.
Okay. Well, I got into the cleaning business after working in the medical field for 20 years. I actually was at church, and a lady who was disabled asked me, could I help her? And I told her, yeah. I went over, did the job. She said, I did amazing, and then the light bulb came on. Go ahead and start a business because there are other people who need help. And it really took off from there. A lot of the stuff I've done was referral-based. Real estate agents started calling, and I was like, wow. I didn't even know what I was getting myself into. I was like, wait, what? But it's been really good. So we get to help other people. That's why we're here.
That is a great story, and I think a great reason for your business to exist. It certainly is a lot of fun to make money, but we've got a bigger purpose to help folks. That is a game changer. So what's going on with your world today? How can I help, my friend?
Well, it's grown a lot. As I said before, we do have several different departments now. We have cleaning, packing, and organizing. Now, my cleaning is doing good because I have several property management companies. I have recurring clients in the cleaning department, but because that almost sprouted legs and walked on its own, I didn't really have to do a whole lot of marketing. But I want to build my packing and organizing department, and I'm not that great at marketing. I need some help because I really am unsure how to really grow that part of the company, even though we get it. But it's just not consistent, and I really want to grow every part of it. So I just need some guidance on how to get those two other balls rolling the way the cleaning department is rolling.
Okay, so how many employees do you have currently, just so I get an idea of your size?
I just hired someone else. I have four people. There are two teams. And, five, the fifth one is over the organizing department because she's, like, really excellent at it. So she just came on board, but she's sort of, based off of the job itself.
Okay, hold on. You got five people, right?
Okay,
trying to get an idea of if you're 100 people, 10 people, 0 people. I just need some scope. And you're in Dallas-Fort Worth, correct?
Yes. A little.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the issue, and I've not only done this personally, but I've coached lots of other people through this process. So many people do, again, exactly what I did, so please don't hear judgment as much as a guy that's done some things wrong and wants to save you from making the same mistakes. When mm-hmm. I first bought, my first company was a commercial cleaning company, and then I bought another company that was a manufacturing company, and I fell mm-hmm. right into the kind of thing that you're into, in that we had a lot of capacity. We could manufacture bags or covers or camping tents or big party tents for like golf events and things like that, or mm-hmm. covers for oil things. I mean, we made all guns for bags for like big guns, all sorts of just custom crazy stuff. And it was really hard for me to grow that company because we were going in so many different directions, and it was all manufacturing. So I thought, well, it's kind of the same thing. The first seven-figure company I did that broke a million was when we focused and decided to build our construction company, and we only did commercial shade mm-hmm. structures, which seems pretty small, right? Commercial shade structures seems like the opportunity there would be far smaller. And we're in Phoenix, so Dallas-Fort Worth, I think they've got mm-hmm. them out there. But for the folks in the parts of the world or country that don't have heat, commercial shade structures are mostly along the coastline, Arizona, California, Texas, Florida. But just big, massive mm-hmm. shade structures you'll see at airports, over golf golf courses, schools, but you know, big shade structures. All that to say, it seems like a much thinner market with less availability to grow, but we were able to just skyrocket. And the thing is, when you do two or three different businesses, you effectively try to be an expert in two or three or four different things. So the first thing I'm hearing from you is it sounds like things just happened, right? Like you said, I think, I don't know if it's on air or off air, you mentioned the word happenstance, or we just went where the need is. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because I would have clients that were getting ready to move, and they would call me for the move-out clean, and they're like, oh, my God, I'm so behind on packing. And so we started providing packing services, and then I incorporated now where if they get packing services, they get the deep clean 50% off.
So I got you. So here's the issue. We cannot have individual customers run your company, right? Just because Bobby and Susie are moving and need packing services, that doesn't mean that you are now in the packing business or should be in the packing business. They might also need a massage because they're stressed out, their dogs to be cleaned, their kids' teeth to be pulled, and a pizza that night because they're tired. You are not going to be in all of those businesses. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so many times, because we're entrepreneurs, which is a good thing. So I want to encourage that mindset of constantly seeing opportunity in things and wanting to help and serve the customer. All of that way that we as entrepreneurs see the world is fantastic. That's a great thing. But we have to temper that with a plan for our life and for our business. Imagine if you went into, you know, the Apple store and they had barbecue going and they were, you know, offering to do your taxes. And sure, they got some computers over here and they're like, hey, do you need landscaping services? It would be impossible, right? They're one of the largest companies in the world and they have three or four products, but they're all electronics based, right? And they've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of employees. So with your four people, for you to say, hey, I'm going to compete in Dallas-Fort Worth, which is a very competitive market. There are probably moving companies that have 100 people and then have been doing it for 40 years. And you're like, I'm going to compete with them in my spare time. That's insane. Does that make sense? That's just absolutely insane. And then there are I know there are cleaning. I think Debbie Sardone's out there and she's fantastic. She's got her little company, or not little, they've got a great size company. But there are cleaning companies that have 20, 30, 40, 50 employees that's all they do. And they've been there for 20 years. And every market that you're trying to compete in, there's someone else that does that full time with dozens of staff, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars in budget. And you've got the audacity to go, well, I'm not a very good marketer and I don't really have any money, but I'm going to do this in my part-time and somehow compete with somebody that this is their full-time deal. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to focus. We got to create our goals and then create a straight line to get to our goals. And the best way to help people, or I forget which pastor said this to me once, but the best way to help poor people is not to be one. So when you say, well, they need help with this or they need help with that, we've got to make a distinction between our for-profit endeavors in that I do... you know, with this coaching, I get paid. I get paid really, really well. And my church, after service, when they want people to help pick up chairs, I don't go, well, hey, I make $1,000 an hour. Write me a check and I'll pick. Of course, I just help for free. So I make the distinction between this is my for-profit endeavor. And because my for-profit endeavor pays my bills and gives me all the financial freedom I want, I can do whatever I want with my own time. But I never confuse them, right? If Marisa says, hey, Mike, I need you to fly out here and help me walk through this. As much as I love you and want to help you, I know that I can serve more people within the framework and system that I've created to help people, as opposed to dropping everything and going out to help Marisa. So same thing when someone says, I need you to pack this crap up and move it. The right answer is, if you want to be a cleaning company, the right answer is we're not experts at that. We've got a couple cleaning company or moving companies that are amazing, and we'll give you a referral and we'll make sure you get great care taken of you. But the best way to serve you is to do what we're great at. So if you want to be a moving company, God bless you, go be a moving company, but don't dabble in cleaning. If you want to be a cleaning company, same thing with a moving company. So I know it seems anti-sensible that you would, that's not even a word, but I know it seems the opposite of common sense in terms of the smaller my focus is and the less I do or less I focus on, the faster I grow. But that's absolutely not the case. It works out exactly the opposite. Questions or thoughts or pushback?
No. I completely understand, because I know just in general in life, the things that we focus on the most, that's where we grow. You know, those are the areas that we can actually build and build and build upon. You can't spread all these bricks across the floor, you know, across the ground and, you know, expect to build a tower. You know, you have got to stack them in one particular place. So I do understand completely what you're saying. I want to ask about, what about the organizing? Because we do go into homes where it's a hoarder situation pretty much, and they do need a deep clean once the organizing is done.
So,
because we have, of course, gone in, organized homes.
I gotcha. I gotcha. So we need to move away from, we go into a home and they need X. Every home that you're going to go into, they might need counseling. The dad might be screaming at the mom. That doesn't mean you're a counselor, right? Their dog might have cancer. That doesn't mean you're going to cut him open and start operating, right? And you're like, well, these things I can do. Well, there's a lot of things that you can do, but you shouldn't do. So again, you've got to set the, you are the entrepreneur, and you've got to set the tone for your business and decide, this is how I choose to serve the world, right? I have, and I'm telling you, the more, and this is so paradoxical, but the more successful you get, the better you get at saying no. When you're just starting, it's easy to say yes to everybody because nobody's asking for anything, right? When, the more successful you get, the more you have to say, no, 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 no. I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not. I was talking with another a guy the other day who had a, he said he had a cleaning company, but really he had a pest control job. And he's like, oh, we'll start doing cleaning for the pest control, right? It makes sense. And I'm like, it might make sense when you're doing $1 million in cleaning to buy a pest control company and kind of go that way. But when it's just you and you're just starting, that's insane. I can't help you do that. And he's like, well, seems like these concepts will work just well for a pest control company. Can't you help me? And I said, of course I could, but, and not to be a jerk, but I won't. I've got a whole community here that's all made up of owners of cleaning companies, and you guys get value from each other, and you get value from the fact that this is all I do, and I can be what I think is the best in the world at helping owners of cleaning companies because that's all I do. And again, could have I helped them? Sure. But I told them, go find somebody that's the best in the world at helping pest control companies grow and help them, right? So even though he needed coaching, and I'm a great coach and I could have absolutely helped him, I know my time is better spent on people that own cleaning companies, and he would be better served by somebody that only worked with pest control and was as good at pest control as I am at cleaning. So same with you. Instead of, if you want to be a hoarder declutterer, that's fine, but just do that and be the best in the world at that. If not, find someone that's really good at that and refer them out. Just because you can do it or somebody wants you to do it doesn't mean you should do it. We've got to be, the world is always going to, trust me, the world is chaos and it's always going to try and get us to comply with its plan for our life. Our job as entrepreneurs is to get the world to comply with our plans for our life. And that means we hire people and marshal resources and get vendors on board and get customers. We got to get everybody going our direction. But if you're going to let the world push you in your direction, that's an employee that just goes with the flow. So you've got to decide what you want to be and be that. And I'll make it even better or worse, depending on how you look at it. Let's say you do pick cleaning. Once you do that, you got to even be more specific. Residential is not a niche. Residential cleaning services is not a niche. You want to have, is it big houses? Is it small houses? Is it married couples? Is it single people? Is it retired folks or people still working? Kids in the home? Pets? No pets. Like what zip codes do I go in? High end or low end? So you want to really be specific and be the best in the world at serving them. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, it most definitely makes sense. And because I mean, the cleaning is, you know, that's the easiest part. It for me, it's almost like a breeze. I don't do it anymore because I was in a really bad car accident. So you know, I used to do it, but it makes it a lot easier for me to, you know, focus more on, you know, trying to build that part of it, you know, because now I'm getting ready to go out and try to get some more property management companies and grow that part as well. So that's come out like, but I know I was thinking about the company as a whole, but listening to you now is, you know, giving me something to really think about the packing and organizing, you know, department, because I know the cleaning is easy. The cleaning, growing that part of it, you know, it's, I enjoy it, you know, but the packing and organizing, you know, seems more of a challenge, which of course is probably just a straight up and down red flag, honestly. And so, so you're really helping me be able to say, okay, well, I probably do need to cut those out because I am doing good with cleaning, not great. You know, it's not a massive company or anything like that, but it is growing.
Well, hold on. A big part of the reason you're doing good, not great, is you're trying to do three things well, and it's impossible to do three things well. Even if you had 10, 20 employees, you still can't do three things well. You need to have hundreds of employees before you can start going in all different directions. So yes, it is a red flag when one part's hard and the other part's easy. But again, you're not giving it a chance, right? If your focus is all over the place and you're a small business owner, when you're literally, if there's a supply to be bought, somebody to be hired, a customer to be billed, a customer to be gotten, a lead to be found, a bid to be given, a complaint to be handled, everything, you do all of it. So you have so few resources and you're like, I'm going to try and spread these over three separate businesses. It's insane. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I've coached literally hundreds of owners of cleaning companies. And again, this is a guy that made that mistake. So please don't hear Mike going, boy, are you dumb, Marisa. This is Mike going, I was that. I did that. It was awful. It was terrible. Let me just help you, right? That's my job is to help you make better mistakes than I made. So let me give you one more thing, and then we're going to hit the lightning round. I'm going to give you a chance to share. The one other thing I want to give you in Cleaning Nation is we got to get out of the idea, and you're kind of dancing around it. That's why I wanted to kind of hit it on the head so everyone sees it. You said the cleaning's the easy part. Guess what? And you're like, I'm good at cleaning. Guess what? Everybody's good at cleaning. I can clean. Anyone that you talk to, everyone's good at cleaning. So people say like, oh, I clean better than anyone. That's my thing. The problem is everybody can clean. It's a low-value skill. You don't want to be good at low-value skills because everybody's good at low-value skills and you're competing with them, right? That's why acting is so tough. I can pretend like I'm someone else right now, and it's hard to say who's better or who's worse, right? And there's a lot of just weird stuff going on in it. So you want to have a high-value skill that everybody can kind of recognize. That skill is client attraction. And in the cleaning business, client and employee attraction. Those are very high-value skills. So I would not focus on cleaning, because guess what? Everybody can clean. And the people that can't, you can pay a $40,000 trainer that knows everything about cleaning. Marketing and client attraction, that is the high dollar ability to get people to want to come be a part of what you're doing, whether it's as an employee or a customer. That's the high dollar stuff. That's $100 an hour, $1,000 an hour work, $5,000 an hour work. Cleaning is always $20 an hour work. Maybe it's 10, maybe it's 15, maybe it's 20. Doesn't matter. It's not building a business work. So I really want to encourage you, focus on one niche, and then spend the bulk of your time attracting clients and employees to that niche. Don't spend time cleaning or training cleaners or focusing on the technical piece of it. And again, I'm not saying this for everybody. If you're a brain surgeon, you're going to spend no time on marketing. You're spend all of your time on learning how to be a better brain surgeon. But since we're in the cleaning business, and it's a for-profit endeavor, ideally, the most profitable thing we can do is client attraction, and it's very easy to sub out other people to clean. And a lot of people want to pay other people for client attraction. That's how Thumbtack exists, and Angie's List, and all these other people that they're very good at client attraction, and they get paid way more money than you do, but you do all the work, right? That's how franchises are. Hey, we'll get the accounts for you, which is what a lot of cleaners think is the hard part, but we're going to take 20%, and there's less than 20% left over for you, but you got to do all the cleaning, and all we did was sell it. So I'm telling you, focus on client attraction. That is the moneymaker, whereas cleaning is not a moneymaker. Lots of people know how to clean. Not many people are experts at client attraction, so become an expert at client attraction. All right, Cleaning Nation, we're going to hit the lightning round, and this lightning round is brought to you by our very next upcoming live event. If you want to hang out with me and 15 other hand-picked owners of cleaning companies, this is by invitation only. I talk to everybody and make sure that it's only the best of the best. If you would like to be a part of that group and come hang out with me and Natalie and just the best in the field from all over the world, we get people usually from obviously different states, but lots of different countries. It's a blast. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live for the details on that. All right, Marisa, let's hit the lightning round. Three quick questions. You're going to give three quick but amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice is not to be afraid of failure. Because you have a choice to get back up and try again. Every day that we're alive, you have a choice to try it again. And the failure is the opportunity to learn and to grow. You know, because once you make that mistake, you're not going to make that mistake again. 9 times out of 10. So, yeah, don't be afraid of failure, because that's the opportunity to learn.
Golly. Well said, Marisa. You are wise beyond your years. Question number two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business? So just like I'm always trying to share so you guys can learn from my mistakes, we want to learn from yours. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business?
The biggest mistake that I've made in the cleaning business is, let me see, I know I've made, one time I had someone that I had to fire because they were trying to take my clients. But I don't know if it was like an intentional mistake, because it was like right after the car accident and I suffered a really bad concussion and I was out of sorts, and I didn't see that happening, you know, and I wish I would have paid more attention, but I don't know if it was because of the wreck or because of my lack of what I was doing or not doing.
Right, so what I hear I gotta get through. We're running out of time. What I hear you saying is make sure that you have the right people in place and that you are, I don't want to say keeping an eye on them, but in relationship with them to such a degree that something like that's not going to happen. Is that a fair kind of restatement?
Oh yeah.
All right, cool. Very fair. Last question, and then we'll get out of here and move on to other things. What's your favorite book or resource you've got that you can share with Cleaning Nation that maybe we can get some value from as well?
Actually, I love Brian Tracy. I watch his motivational videos all the time, and I do have a couple of his books, but every morning at 5:30, I listen and watch his videos so I can learn about business and about how to function in the business world, because it's a lot to learn. So
I am
Brian Tracy.
So glad that you said that. One of my favorite Brian Tracy books, and I think he co-authored this, so I don't know who the other author is, but a book called The Power of Focus, and it's so right on track with what we're talking about today. And he talks about the, you know, well, we've got all the sunlight, which, you know, over the face of the earth is, you know, billions of kilowatts of energy. But it just, you know, if we get out and stand in it, it doesn't do anything but give us a sunburn, maybe if we stand long enough. But if we focus it tightly enough, we can cut through diamonds with that same light. So the same thing goes with our energy, right? If we just disperse it over lots of different things, we're not, you know, maybe we'll give some people sunburns. But if we focus it, we can, like a laser, we can really do stuff. So I love Brian Tracy. Couldn't agree more. Marisa, The Power of Focus is a great book. And I'm going by memory. It's an older book, but I'm pretty sure Brian Tracy is either the author or a co-author. Marisa, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Marisa's show notes page and the special video I made just for you, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.